chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. And we've established already that redemption brings freedom and liberty. And we also established that righteousness is a free gift. It is unto all and upon all them that believe. Romans chapter 3. And righteousness comes to us because of what Jesus did on the cross. It is through His blood that we have been made the righteousness of God in Christ. Now, we're going to look at righteousness again and solidify the foundation that I've given you. And then I'm going to share some more practical things with you. Notice 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. That Greek word katisis not only refers to a new species, but literally a new original. New. Not old, but new. If any man be in Christ, notice it says any man, not just men who grew up in a religious environment. But I don't care where you came from, I don't care what you did. If you come to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ, something happened on the inside of you. Your spirit was reborn. Amen. That's why Jesus said to Nicodemus, you must be born again. Nicodemus, like most people, didn't get it. He said, how can a man at my age go back to his mother's womb? And Jesus is clarifying this. He said, Nicodemus, listen to me. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, but that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Don't be amazed that I'm telling you, you must be born again. He wasn't talking about his body. He was talking about his spirit. And so when you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, make Him Lord of your life, the Holy Spirit regenerates your spirit. You become a new person on the inside. You know, the Spirit is the real you anyway. What I'm looking at this morning, and what you're looking at, conversely, is the house we live in. But on the inside of you, there's a hidden man. On the inside of you is your spirit and your soul. Spirit and soul are not the same. Amen. The spirit is the real you. The soul consists, the Greek word psuche, of your mind, your will, your intellect, your emotions. Those are eternal parts of your being. You know, if you're the kind of person who likes to laugh and cut up, you know, you got a good sense of humor. Well, when you get to heaven, you won't lose it. Amen. You may not use it as often, but you won't lose it. Are you with me? I can see us, you know, standing around the throat. Hey, God, let me tell you this joke. No, I don't think so. But you know, God has a sense of humor. He does. I can prove it to you. All throughout the Scripture, He did things that were just plain funny to prove a point. You know, like Sarah, when she's in the tent laughing, when the Lord said, about the same time next year I'm coming back, you'll embrace the son. She's in there cracking up. You got to be kidding me. So the Lord said, girl, what you laughing at? Sarah, spiritual giant. I wasn't laughing. She lied. God loved her anyway. He said, yeah, you were laughing too. And next year you're going to have a baby boy and you're going to name him Yitzhak, laughter. And sure enough, that was his name. All right, God has a sense of humor. And so the soulish part of you is an eternal part of your makeup. It'll never cease to exist. Your body will be resurrected or changed one day, so it'll be eternal, just like Jesus' body. But we're talking about things that happen on the inside. So when you make Jesus the Lord of your life, your spirit is reborn, you become alive unto God, and that's what we're exploring in this series called righteousness. Now, positionally, where are we in Christ when we accept Him, when we're born again? Look at verse 21. For He has made Him, Jesus, to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. So when you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, you tap into that great exchange. Jesus, in redemption, bore the sin of mankind. He was made sin with our sin. He committed none of His own. But He was the antitype of every Passover offering. In Leviticus chapter 16, it gives very specific detail about what happens on the Day of Atonement. Part of the ceremony and the ritual on the Day of Atonement was after the high priest fulfilled his priestly duties, he would lay his hands on the head of a goat and confess over that goat all the sins of the children of Israel. And a strong man would take that goat with a rope around his neck and haul him off into the wilderness. And that goat suffered the penalty for their sin. Well, that goat was a type of Jesus. That's where the term scapegoat comes from. That goat bore the weight of the sin so that we escape the penalty. In the same manner, Jesus was made sin with our sin so that we could bear His righteousness. And it's not because of anything we've done. All we can do is believe. And so Abraham, the patriarch, established the model. The Bible says Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him to be righteous. So in the same manner, when we believe God's account of what His Son did for us, then we are made righteous. So righteousness is the ability to stand before God without guilt, without condemnation, without sin. And it's a free gift. You can't earn it or work for it. All you can do is believe and receive it. It's free. And it comes by faith. It's a grace gift. So righteousness is a gift. Righteousness is not something that you earn. Righteousness cannot be attained by keeping rules and regulations. Righteousness cannot be attained by keeping the Ten Commandments. Many people grew up with the Ten Commandments and believe, well, if I keep all of these ten things, I'll be right with God. Well, the only problem is, through your own human effort, you'll never keep all ten of those things. And there are people who pride themselves in keeping little portions of the law of Moses. You know, we worship on the real Sabbath. Oh, really? Our women don't wear pants. Okay, cool. You know, but the Bible says, if you disobey one little piece of the law, you're guilty of all of it. Amen. So if you're going to start keeping the law, brother, you better keep it all. Because if you keep part of it, I'm sorry, you missed it. Amen. Paul wrote to the church at Rome and said the same thing to the Hebrews. He said, the law was not made for a righteous man, but for sinners and disobedient. Well, we're the righteousness of God in Christ. The law was not written for us. We have a law that's written in our hearts. It's the law of love. If I love you, Al, I'm not going to steal from you. If I love you, I won't murder you. If I love you, I won't bear false witness. All I have to do is express the love of God in my life. And I'll keep the Ten Commandments and more. Are you with me? Now, let me show you some things this morning. This is some pretty good stuff. I think you'll enjoy this. All right, turn with me to Psalm 145. Now, I'm going to show you how righteousness can change your life. Psalm 145. Hallelujah. 145th Psalm. Psalm 145 is almost right smack dab right in the middle of your Bible. If you've got an Old and New Testament. Almost right in the middle. Psalm 145. And I want you to notice one verse. Verse 17. Notice what it says. The Lord is righteous in all His ways and holy in all His works. Now, talking about two different things and these attributes that have been attributed to God. God is righteous in all His ways. Righteousness is His nature. That's the way He does things. Righteous. Now, here's a good thing to keep in mind. Listen to me now. God is righteous in everything that He does. But yet men, because of a misunderstanding of biblical principles and not understanding that we have an adversary arrayed against us, many times have attributed unrighteousness to God. And I'll show you how they do it. Something terrible or bad will happen. Tsunami, earthquake, flood, tornado. I remember one time a preacher came to my father-in-law's church. And he was from Alabama, I believe. And they had had a tornado down in his hometown a couple nights before. And this man got up in the pulpit. And, you know, and I don't know why. Well, I know why. Some preachers are overly dramatic, theatrical. God visited us last night. I'm like, really? So he said, God visited us last night and tore up half the town. I thought, I don't know what God you're talking about. Several people lost their lives. And so because it was beyond man's control, they assume God did it. That is biblically incorrect. Scripturally inaccurate. Just because it happened and it was outside of man's control doesn't mean God did it. And so what happens is they ascribe unrighteousness to God. And God is righteous in all his ways. Now, there was a character in the Old Testament who did the same thing. His name was Job. And Job, all hell was unleashed against him. And it cost him dearly. And he began to blame God. And towards the end of the book, you read chapters 29 through 31, you'll find Job saying stuff like this: oh, that I might find him, that I knew where his seat was. I would order my case before him and fill my mouth with arguments. You know who he's looking for? God. He said, God, you've done wrong to me, and called God wicked. Called God his enemy. And was looking for God, you know. And then he said, oh, that my words were written in a book. You know, good move. They were. Then in chapter 32, a young man named Elihu shows up and tells the truth about what really happened. Now, why are Elihu's words any different than Job, Eliphaz, and all these other guys who came to comfort him? Elihu was inspired by the Holy Ghost. Chapter 32. He said, great men are not always wise, neither do the aged understand judgment, but there's a spirit in man, and the breath or the inspiration of the Almighty gives them understanding. Well, where does God give understanding? In your spirit. And then he said a little later on, chapter 37 and chapter 36, he said one statement that sort of seals up the sum, you know, puts a little period at the end of the sentence. He said, God will not afflict. And so he revealed the ways of God to these men who didn't know what they were talking about. And so God is righteous in all his ways. For God to strike somebody down in the prime of life just for fun would be unrighteous. Amen. We put people in jail who do that. Amen. Are you with me? So God is righteous in all his ways. That is his nature. But notice this. He's holy in all his works. His nature is righteousness, but holiness is his character. Now, if you understand that God is righteous by nature, and his character is holiness, then that'll help you to allow the Holy Spirit and the Word of God to transform your life. Hallelujah. Because now your nature is righteousness. You've been made the righteousness of God in Christ. Now you need to allow that life of God that's on the inside of you to work its way to the outside of you. Now, let me show you something. Turn with me to this passage. We looked at it last week. We're going to talk about it just for a moment. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Here's the problem. Or herein is where the problem lies. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. We'll touch on this and then we'll move on. 1 Corinthians 15, 34. Notice what it says, awake unto righteousness and sin not. For some have not the knowledge of God. I speak this to your shame. Now, Paul is writing this letter, this epistle, to a Gentile church that's full of born-again, Spirit-filled, tongue-talking, miracle-watching, gifts of the Spirit-experiencing people. I almost said Bible-toting, but they didn't have the New Testament like we do. All right? And he says, awake unto righteousness and sin not. What he's simply saying is, you're sleeping. Wake up and realize who you are. You are the righteousness of God in Christ. Stop sinning. And that term awake means to arouse out of slumber. And what he's simply letting them know and letting us know is that sin becomes a problem for believers when they don't know who they are. When they're asleep to the fact that they're the righteousness of God. You go around saying stuff like, well, we're just old sinners saved by grace. You know what? Sin will be your buddy. You'll live with sin for the rest of your life. When you go camping, you may as well bring an extra bedroll because he's coming with you.
All right.
Because you're identifying with sin. I'm just an old sinner. You know what you're really saying? Jesus, I know you poured out your blood. You gave your very life. It wasn't enough to really change me. I'm still the same old guy, but I know when I die, I'll get to heaven. You need to wake up.
Amen.
Awake unto righteousness, and I'm going to show you how to do this, and sin not. And then he said this, some of you have not the knowledge of God. Literally said, some of you don't know God and don't have an intimate relationship with Him. Because if you knew Him and understood His nature and understand what He did in you, sin would no longer be a problem for you. Are you with me?
Amen.
Now, let me emphasize this point. Turn with me to Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6. Everybody say righteousness.
Righteousness.
That's my nature. That's who I am. You didn't say that with conviction. This must be new food for some of you. Let's say it again. Righteousness.
Righteousness.
That's my nature.
That's
who I am. That's what the Bible says. 2 Corinthians 5:21. For He has made Him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made, that's you, that's me, the righteousness of God in Him. Now, if you don't know that, you'll live the rest of your life in bondage. Like I said, take an extra bedroll with you because sin is coming. Okay? Now, watch Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6. This is liberating. Romans chapter 6. Now, we know that we receive righteousness, we receive redemption by faith in Jesus, and it's all because of His grace. It's free. Unmerited favor. We can't earn it. Now, watch Romans chapter 6, verse 1. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. Notice this next phrase. How shall we that are dead to sin live in it anymore? Did you know you're dead to sin?
Amen.
You know what the problem is? Too many Christians don't know it. They think they're still sinners. Still sinners. When the Bible says you're dead to sin. Notice the next verse. Know ye not, now that's old English, for don't you know? Don't you know that so many of us, as were baptized into Jesus Christ, were baptized into His death? Therefore we are buried with Him by baptism into death, that, like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. So he's simply saying that when you believed on Jesus, you were, and that's why water baptism is so significant. Back here behind this curtain, for those of you who didn't know, there's a big baptismal pool. This is where we'll baptize folk. We don't have to go, you know, borrow another church anymore for baptisms. We can do it right here. We don't have to dunk in Lake Erie. We can do it right here. Nothing wrong with Lake Erie, but it's not convenient sometimes. Okay? But that's the significance of baptism. When you go down in the water, you're signifying, I am dead with Christ. And after Jesus died, they buried Him. But in the same way that Jesus walked out of that tomb 3 days later, when you come out of that water, you were identifying with Him in that the same way Jesus was raised from the dead, now I've been raised from the dead, to live a new life, to live a new way. righteous. You with me? That's why it's so important. It's not the formula by which you're baptized, but the fact this is an outward show of what happened in your spirit. Now, let me prove it to you. Go a little further. Look at verse 6. Knowing this, this is something you need to know. If you're going to live a victorious lifestyle, you need to know this. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth or from now on, we should not serve sin. Notice verse 9. Knowing, do you know this? You need to know this. Knowing that Christ being raised from the dead is not going to die anymore, for death has no dominion over him. For in that he died to sin once, but in that he lives unto God. Now, notice verse 11. Here's the key. You know, sometimes there are little keys in life that can open big doors. This is one of those little keys that opens a big door. Likewise, reckon. Now, reckon is an old English term. Reckon literally means count something as a fact. Count it as a fact. Notice what it says. Reckon you also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Now, the Bible says that sin no longer has dominion over us. Notice verse 18. Being then made free from sin. Who's he talking to? Righteous people. Christians, born again folk. You've been made free from sin. You become the servants of righteousness. Notice verse 22. But now being made free from sin. When is now? When is now? Now. Now being made free from sin, and you become the servants to God, you have your fruit unto holiness, and the end everlasting life. Now we all know verse 23, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. Well, don't quote that out of its context. The whole theme is righteousness and living free from sin. And we pick one verse out of its setting and try to make it say something and just put a downer on everybody. All have sinned and come short of the glory. Yeah. But that's not the focus of the thought. The focus of the thought is you're free. You were made free when you believed on Jesus. Now, here's the key. Verse 11. Count as a fact, you also yourselves, to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, here's how you can take your nature, righteousness, and convert your nature, righteousness, to holiness. What is holiness? Well, Pastor Bill, holiness is the way you dress. Well, not quite. Holiness is the way you wear your hair, or the kind of hat you come on, or the colors you wear. I heard this just the other week. Just the other week, a woman. They always pick on women. Oh, these folk always pick on women. I heard of a woman who got chastised because she wore a red dress. What in the... This is 2012. This ain't 1952. Can you believe this stuff still goes on?
In Erie, Pennsylvania.
In 2012. Woman was criticized for wearing a red dress. Good Lord. No place in the Bible does it say, thou shalt not wear a red dress. Amen. I'm not going where I'm thinking. We're gonna move right through. Amen. Righteousness is your nature. Holiness is your character.
Yes.
Now, holiness has to be developed. Character must be developed. You became the righteousness of God in Christ in a moment. When you were born again, when you made Jesus the Lord of your life. Now the Holy Spirit and the Word of God are working through you, if you'll cooperate with it, so that the righteousness that's on the inside of you will become evident by your lifestyle. Holiness is your character. It's not the way you dress. It's not the colors that you wear. It's not the way you wear your hair. It's not the length of your skirt. I remember many years ago, being in a church, and one of my cousins came in, and you know, next thing I know, I got a preacher in my ear. Brother Young, Brother Young. Yeah. Need to tell her to put something on. I said, what? She got to cover up. Cover up what? I wasn't born, raised Pentecostal holiness. I grew up in denominational churches. We didn't have a problem with that. She's got slacks on. I said, yeah. What? You know? I said, if you're going, now listen to me. If you're going to lust after a woman because she's got slacks on, I don't care if she wears a burlap sack. Lust is lust. Amen. Now, you know, some slacks are tighter than others. I understand that. Listen, you are the righteousness of God in Christ. You can't help what you see. You can't help what you dwell on and look at. So how do you convert righteousness to holiness? Real simple. Reckon yourselves, or count it as a fact, that you are dead to sin. Now, I've used this illustration many, many times. If I were to take, unfortunately this is the case, if I were to take $50,000, put it in a bag, put a table in the middle of most churches, and leave that money on that table, leave, shut out all the lights, lock all the doors, I guarantee you a week later that money will not be there. Why? People steal. Some people in churches steal. I taught this on the radio one time. And a brother from one of the local churches came over to MGCC to wait for me after service was over. And he came, he ordered some tapes from us before. And he said, Pastor Young, you wouldn't believe what happened. Exactly what you said on the radio happened. I'm like, what are you talking about? Somebody stole a woman's purse in church. I'm like, no. People steal. Now, granted, you know, church is a place where people come to get, you know, recovered and put back together. And everybody in church ain't perfect. That's why you're here. Amen. Okay? That's why you're here. There are some people who say, I don't go to church. Why? Too many hypocrites. Well, why don't you go anyway? You'll just be one more. Well, I'm looking for the perfect church. Well, as soon as you show up, there it goes, you know. Church is where people come to be put back together. To learn how to do this stuff. You with me? But I can take that same $50,000 and go down to the Erie County Morgue, put it on a table, leave, shut the lights out, lock the doors, and I guarantee you that money will be there 50 years from now if nobody else goes in the room. Why? Dead men don't steal. They don't. You ever hear the expression, dead men tell no lies? It's true. But dead men don't steal either. Amen. Why? They're dead. They can't. So what you need to do as the righteousness of God is when the opportunity presents itself for you to trespass, miss the mark. That's what sin is. Right. We've often thought sin was drinking, smoking, carousing. What they call it? They used to call it midnight rambling. You know, hey, you can ramble at noon. You know? You don't have to be midnight. That's right. But sin means to trespass, to miss the mark, to do what you know you shouldn't be doing, or not do what you should be doing. Amen. Well, when the opportunity presents itself, you need to count it as a fact that you're dead to sin. I used to do that. I still do. I'd have a thought. I'd see something, hear something. Here comes that precious thought. Now, what do I do? Faith is nothing more than a series of choices that you make every day. Now I have a choice. I can lean on the righteousness of God, which is who I am, or I can let my flesh rule the day. You're the deciding factor. Now, if you hide God's word in your spirit, it'll affect your mind, your will, your intellect, your emotions. And you'll have some fuel to draw upon when you need it. And I would open my mouth and say, no, that's not my thought. I know that didn't come from heaven. That sure didn't come from my spirit. Amen. I can easily identify where that thought came from. Or I would say, and I used to literally do this, I still do. I'd say out loud, no, I'm dead to sin. And if you'd be in the room, you'd probably think I'm a little nuts. What'd he say? You're what? Nothing. Now, I don't say it where people can hear me.
Amen.
No, I'm dead to sin. Well, what am I doing? I'm acknowledging the righteousness of God,
yes,
which is who I am.
Yes.
I am dead to sin. That's what the Bible says. We just read it.
Right.
Count it as a fact that you are dead to sin and alive unto God. And so when an opportunity presents itself, I open my mouth and say, no,
amen.
I'm not going there. No, I'm not going that way. No, I'm not going to do that. I'm dead to sin.
Amen.
Now listen to me. Your mind doesn't like that.
All right.
Your body doesn't like that.
Amen.
But who's running the show?
All right. Amen.
Your mind and your body or your spirit?
All right. Amen.
The Bible says, walk in the spirit, you'll not fulfill the lust of the flesh.
Yes.
Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8 also says, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. If you'll allow your spirit to rule the day and control your emotions and control your thoughts and control the impulses that you have in your flesh, you can live free from sin.
Amen.
And see, we're all tempted. We all have opportunities, you know. You know, I not long ago, when my wife was in the hospital and a doctor made a dumb mistake and gave her a prescription that really was devastating, the thought crossed through my mind how easy it would be to hurt this guy. Me, the pastor, I had that thought. You know how easy it would be to hurt this guy? But I know that's not the righteousness of God.
Amen.
Now, don't sit out there like you never had a thought like that. Don't sit there looking at me like Joe Holy Holy, you know. Oh, I'm shocked, Pastor. Oh, yeah, right. Yeah, okay. You need to be honest. Because okay. You've had the same thoughts. But that's not the righteousness of God. And so I said, no, that's not my thought. That's not God's way. And I started praying for the man.
Amen.
Are you with me? Okay, my spirit rules the day, not my emotions, not my flesh.
Amen.
You got it?
Yeah.
Okay. Reckon yourself, count it as a fact that you're dead to sin. You need to say it out loud.
Amen.
Now, here's the problem with too many people. They don't know who they are. They haven't awakened to righteousness. And you know what they're like? One time many years ago, I went to a circus. And they had elephants. And elephants are huge, several tons, very strong. And I saw this elephant outdoors as we were going into the circus tent. And you know what they had around the ankle of this elephant? A little rope. That's the same kind of rope we used to use when I was a little boy to hang clothes on in the backyard. Little thin piece of rope. Now that elephant probably weighed 3 or 4 tons. Could easily snap that rope and do whatever he or she wanted to do. But you know what happened to that elephant? That elephant was conditioned that whenever that elephant felt that tug on his foot, he assumed he couldn't do anything. And that's the problem with too many Christians. They are the righteousness of God in Christ, but they're so conditioned to a lifestyle of sin that the chains that literally used to hold them in bondage for years have now been broken. But they feel that little tug. And they just assume, I'm the same old guy. Just assume, I got to do this thing. I guess just assume, well, you know, God understands. I just assume, see what I mean? When you've been made free. And if you really want to walk away from that thing, you can and should.
Amen.
You with me?
Yeah.
You can and should.
Amen.
But if you don't know who you are, then you're still going to live your life bound. I heard the story of a farmer who got a phone call from the local sheriff. And the sheriff had seen one of his goats lying on a ditch off the road and just assumed the goat had been hit by a car because it was laying there and wouldn't move. And so the sheriff called the farmer and said, hey, one of your goats got hit by a car. It's out on route, whatever. And so the farmer went out there, and sure enough, his goat was in the ditch. But the goat was not hit by a car. Somebody tried to steal the goat and it bound this goat's feet together. And when the farmer got down in the ditch, the reason the goat was just laying there was his feet were bound. So the farmer cut the rope off the goat's feet, slapped the goat on the butt, and the goat just sat there. Why? Because it still felt like he was bound when really he was free. Didn't know it. So the farmer said, "You dumb goat." And so he picked the goat up, lifted him up, put his feet on the ground. Then the goat finally realized, "Ooh, I guess the rope is gone." Well, when you guys wake up to righteousness, you'll realize, whoa, I'm free from this stuff. This stuff doesn't have any authority over me. Are you with me? Awake unto righteousness and sin not. Now, turn with me in your Bibles, if you will, to the book of Proverbs. And we're going to look at a few verses. Just touch on a couple, and then we'll wrap this up. Proverbs chapter 14. Proverbs chapter 14. I tell you what, it's so good to be free.
Amen.
Amen. So good to be free. I've had guys over the years, you know, guys, we have our own like lingo, you know what I mean? And, you know, guys say things to guys they don't necessarily say to other people. But, hey man, how you doing? Great, man. You staying out of trouble? Yeah, that's easy. Now that's the part that throws them for a loop. You staying out of trouble? And most guys will then, hey, I'm trying, bro. You know, no, I'm not trying. It's pretty easy.
Amen.
Well, you do something long enough, it gets easier. You with me?
Amen.
You do something long enough, it gets easier. I remember I had some buddies that I grew up with. I lived 1 or 2 years in Pittsburgh on the south side. And, you know, we teenage boys got into a little mischief. And so I moved away. My parents divorced, and so I lived with my mother and went back there. Now I'm in college, you know, and I run into the same kids in the same neighborhood. And my life has been changed, but they're still doing the same old thing, only they progressed to get worse. So, hey, Bill, come on, we're going to have a party, man. We're going to go get some beer. No, I'm not into that. Well, come on, man. We're going to go get some beer. Well, what's special about beer? I don't like it. Okay? I'm serious. My daddy was a beer drinker. Had me drinking beer when I was a kid. I didn't like it. You know what we used to call beer in Oklahoma? Anybody know? You don't know? Frog sweat. Frog sweat.
Frog sweat.
Okay? Sounds really nice, doesn't it? Anyway. But my guy's, hey, come on, man, what's going on? No, man, I'm just not into that. I don't like it. I don't want to do it. Okay? I don't drink alcohol. It's not fun for me. You know, maybe I was different than a lot of people because I'd watch the generation ahead of me when I was in junior high school and stuff. And these guys would go out and party hard, get plastered, get drunk. And, you know, I'd watch what it did to people. And I had a guy that I knew who was, when I was in 10th grade, he was a senior. His name was, I won't say his whole name, David. David was kind of unique. He was 6'10". And he used to get so drunk, we had a little store, one little store downtown. You got to see this town I grew up in, little one-horse town. Sarah's been there. There's a little gas pump right out front, and they used to take David's head, and they'd bang it on the gas pump, and you could hear it all over town. Wham, 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 wham. And so we'd be on the bus the next morning, and these guys would say, "Oh, man, dude, wasn't that a blast last night? Yeah, man." I'm thinking, you guys are throwing up all over the place, banging your heads on gas pumps. That don't sound like fun to me. And that's one reason why I didn't play basketball my junior and senior year, because after the games, the guys would go out and party. I wanted to go home, you know, so I had to walk home. They tell the coach, "We're cool, coach." And they go out and party, try to get me to go out and do drugs and alcohol. I wouldn't do it. My mama would kick my butt if I came home drunk or high. You with me? And so I'd walk home. And so I decided, you know, the guys who were coming up, freshman class, these guys were good ball players, but they all used drugs, so I didn't play with them. Now listen, I'm not telling you this because I'm a holy, holy, you know, choir boy or something. I'm trying to make a point. But through observation, I realized that that kind of lifestyle really doesn't pay off too well.
All right.
Well, my buddy David, who was 2 years ahead of me, never learned that lesson, went into the Navy, continued to drink real hard, came back, got a job, partied hard like there was no tomorrow. And then one day he decided, across from the street from his apartment was the only barbecue place in town, Randall's Barbecue. 6'10". Decided in his drunken state, I'm going to go get some barbecue. Nothing wrong with that, except when you're drunk, you don't walk across a four-lane highway. And he did, was struck by a car and killed instantly. Now, you know, as a young guy, I'm observing this and I'm thinking, party hardy, that don't look too fun to me. Are you with me? Am I the only one who thinks that way?
No.
That don't look too fun to me. And so, you know, that was not my lifestyle, never got into it. To be honest with you, I grew up in a military family. My dad was a hard-living dude, man. And, you know, good weekend for my dad was to get drunk, get in a fight, and get locked up. And he was a cop, Jim. He was a cop. That was a fun weekend for my dad. But I saw what it did to him and my mother's relationship. I was determined when I become an adult, it ain't going to be that way. And I used to watch these men come home on the weekends and beat their wives up just for fun. I'm talking about the 1960s, early 60s. Yeah, that was the thing. If you were a macho man, you know, you get drunk and you beat your wife. That's stupid. That's dumb. And so I used to watch that growing up. And so to be honest with you, I was afraid of people who drank. People who are drunk, I'd go the other way. I'm serious. Now, maybe I grew up in an isolated environment, but I'm just telling you the way I was. See, but I learned through observation, that don't seem like fun to me. Are you with me? Now, you can do what you want to do. But I'm going to show you how righteousness can impact your life. Okay? Notice, what did I tell you to go? Proverbs 14? Look at verse 9. Proverbs 14, 9. Fools make mock at sin, but among the righteous there is favor. Now, what is this saying in our modern contemporary English? Foolish people think sin is no big deal. No big deal. Go out and get drunk and, you know, there's nothing to it. So what? Well, you make mock at sin. But if you want the favor of God, you'll let righteousness rule the day. Righteousness will rule the day. Sin ain't funny. Are you with me? It's deadly. Notice Proverbs chapter 13. Back up a chapter. Proverbs 13, verse 21. Evil pursues sinners, but to the righteous, good shall be repaid. I don't know about you, but I like good. I like good. I don't want evil chasing me down. Are you with me? Now, what a tragedy for a born-again believer, somebody who's been washed in the blood, to live in a state not realizing that they've been made free and they're liberated from sin, but yet they live a lifestyle as such that they're asleep and evil keeps running them down.
Amen.
Are you with me? That's not the way I want to live. How about you? Turn to Proverbs chapter 11. I know we're going backwards in the Bible, but this is good stuff. Notice Proverbs chapter 11. And we'll just read a couple verses. Here in this chapter, you find a lot about righteousness. Notice verse 8. The righteous is delivered out of trouble, and the wicked comes in his stead. In other words, if righteousness rules the day in your life, you will experience times when you have trouble. But I can say as a witness, God will rescue you every time. He will get you out of trouble. Amen? He will be there to get you out. If he doesn't get you out, he'll give you the equipment to stand and fight and win.
Amen.
Every time. I said this a few weeks ago. I didn't realize how true it was. I know adversity up close and personally. You with me? But I am a witness that God will deliver you from trouble every time.
Amen.
Okay? Now, go down to verse 30. We're in Proverbs chapter 11. And I'll close with this. This is good. And this is especially something we need to realize with younger people, all right? Because I'm middle age. You know, I'm not 21 anymore. I'm a couple years over that. Notice verse 30. The fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, and he that wins souls is wise. Behold, the righteous shall be recompensed in the earth much more than the wicked in the sinner. Now, recompense, however you want to say it. What is that? That's an old English word that simply means one thing, getting paid. Amen. The righteous will get paid not when they get to heaven. Notice what it says. The righteous shall be recompensed in the earth much more than the wicked and the sinner.
Amen.
You know, the other day I had a conversation with a preacher. And this preacher was trying to convince me that God didn't want us to prosper. He wanted us to be poor. And he said, oh, look at the pimp. He's got all this money and all these... Look at the prostitute. She's got designer clothes. This is literally what he said. And I said, wait a minute, wake up, bro. Most pimps and prostitutes are broke.
Amen.
That's why they're pimping and prostituting, trying to survive. They ain't wearing no designer clothes.
Amen.
See, he believed the lie that Hollywood has portrayed and hip-hop videos have portrayed. Oh, you know, the game. You know, the lifestyle. The hustle. It's a lie.
Amen.
It's a lie. Most of them are flat broke. And this guy also mentioned criminals and gangsters and robbers. Most robbers are in prison.
Amen.
Not for robbing an armored truck,
Amen.
But for sticking a gun in a guy's face at the 7-Eleven. For 30 bucks.
Yep.
Now what a trade-off that is. 15 years of your life for 30 bucks. Most of them are broke. Are you with me? The righteous will be paid in the earth much more than the wicked and the sinner. What am I trying to tell you? If you'll allow the righteousness of God, which is who you are, which is your nature, to be exemplified through your character, it pays. It pays. God doesn't pay every Saturday night, but if you stick with it, trust me, you'll be way ahead of the game. You'll be way ahead of the game. Are you with me? Now, if you learn this when you're 18, 19, 20, 22, okay? Some of us learned this when we were 55, 65. That's all right. Learn it when you can, bro. Hey, get it and run. But don't let sin dominate your life. Okay? Those chains are gone. You're free. You don't have to be bound by anything. You know, there were times when Jesus said to his disciples, he said to his disciples one time later in the Gospel of John, he said, you know, there's some things I want to say to you that you just can't handle right now, so I'll tell you later. He said, but the wicked one's coming. The wicked one's coming. He's talking about Satan. He said, there's an attack coming. And then Jesus said this, but he's got nothing in me. That's an interesting phrase. What do you mean he's got nothing in you? Victor, if you could stand. You know what he meant? The wicked one's coming to find something that he can grab onto and use as leverage. But when he comes to me, there ain't nothing he can grab.
Hallelujah.
You with me?
Hallelujah.
There's nothing he can grab. So we can live the same way. We're the righteousness of God in Christ. What is holiness? I asked that question earlier, and I didn't answer it. It's not the length of your skirt, color of your dress, or how you wear your hair. Holiness is nothing more than exemplifying the character of Christ in your life. Okay? Responding with the character of Christ. And you know what his nature is? Love.
Amen.
Love. You know, somebody... I was driving the other day in traffic, and I must have gotten behind some people who don't know traffic laws in Pennsylvania. You know, and they're driving all slow. I'm like, oh, come on. Would you hurry up? Y'all ever been there?
Amen.
Then I got behind a guy one time, and he's making a right turn, and the light's red, but ain't nobody coming. You know, you can turn right on red in Pennsylvania.
Yeah,
I'm like, come on, let's go. And he just sat there, and sat there, and sat there. I'm thinking, you know, your emotions kick in. One time I was coming to church. I'll tell you this, and then I'll quit. I was coming to church, had my girls in the car. And we were on that one street that runs by Ace Duccini, the hardware store, you know, going right down there. And there's a woman walking her pit bull. And there was a truck that went way over on the other side of the street and passed by. Well, I wasn't going way over there. I mean, I gave her enough room, but I slowly drove by. Well, she got offended by that. And she said, blank you, you blanky blank. I'm on my way to church. I'm the featured speaker. And you know what I wanted to do? I wanted to pull that car over. I don't care, pit bull or no. And straighten her out. And my girls were in the back seat. They heard it. But I said, no, that ain't my thought. I'm not going to do that.
Amen.
You know, just bless her. She don't know who's in the car. She don't know what she's doing.
Amen.
You see what I mean?
Yep.
And, you know, hey, we all have the impulse.
Yes.
From time to time. I didn't do anything to her. She sure yelled at me. You know? You ever drive in traffic and some guy gives you the rude finger?
Yes.
One finger salute?
Yes.
You know, your hair stands up on the back of your neck and... You know what the best thing to do is? Just drive on.
Amen.
Say, Father, bless him.
Yes.
One time I had a drunk driver rear-end me in Tulsa. Bam! And I pulled over on the right side. He pulled over. I didn't know he was drunk. So I got out of my car, looked at my bumper, had a big old dent in it, you know. This guy was driving a Buick. I got my Volkswagen Rabbit. And so I went back there, and as soon as I looked in the window, I could smell the alcohol. He was trashed. I said, hey, man, you hit my car. He looked at me. He said, if you don't get your blank out the road, I'll run you over too. Yeah, it's your car. If you don't get your blank out there, I'm going to run you over. Oh, I got so angry. I got so mad. But you know what I did? I got my blank out the road, so he didn't run me over. I got in my car and I drove into the McDonald's parking lot. We didn't have, there were no cell phones back then. I wanted to find a payphone to call the cops on this guy. I think I got his plate number. But I was so mad. I was so mad. Now, my Volkswagen Rabbit was a 5-speed manual transmission. My foot was on the clutch and literally was going boom, 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 boom. My foot was just, I was so, the adrenaline was pumping. I was so angry. But I had enough sense to get out of the road. So he run me home. Hey, righteousness, that's who you are. Holiness, that's what you do. But you're the deciding factor. Realize that you're the righteousness of God. Wake up, know who you are, and realize that sin no longer has power over you. And when it presents itself, you need to be just like an Old Testament character that I mentioned earlier. There was a guy named Job. And the Bible says about Job, and think about it, Job with his limited knowledge and understanding of the things of God, and it was limited, had enough sense to do what we should do. The Bible says he was perfect and upright. One that feared God. What does it mean to fear God? It's an awesome dread of doing anything that would displease your heavenly Father. It doesn't mean you're afraid of God. He welcomes us into his presence. But we don't want to do anything to displease him. That's the fear of God.
Amen.
He was one that feared God and eschewed evil. That's an old word. What does that mean? That simply means as he walked the course of life, when he was presented with an opportunity to do evil, he did a 180.
All right. Amen.
Went the other way. Some of us need to do the same thing.
Amen.
You know? You run into that sweet little honey at work, you need to turn around and go the other way.
Amen.
Okay. You go to your buddy's apartment and he's got the stuff waiting for you right there on the table. You need to get up and walk out.
Amen.
Amen. Say, hey, bro, where you going? Say, I'll see you later, man.
Amen.
That's all you got to do.
Amen.
You have to preach at him. Don't have to explain what you're doing. You know? And there are people look at you strange. Like, what's the matter, man? You don't want to potty no more? Nope. I got better things to do. I had a drug dealer one time ask me if I wanted to get high. I said, where you been? He looked at me and said, huh? I said, where you been? He said, what? I said, man, don't nobody get high no more. I almost had him. He was. Then he got mad. Oh, man, if you didn't want any dope, just say so. You don't have to go all out. He got mad. I said, where you been, dude? Folks ain't getting high no more. He had to think about it. Freedom. That's what we have in Christ. You're righteous. Don't forget it. Don't live like you're that old sinner tied up with a rope. Don't be as dumb as that goat in the ditch on the side of the road. You've been made the righteousness of God in Christ. Jesus set you free. Live that way. Count it as a fact. Amen?
Amen.
Did you learn anything this morning? Amen. Hallelujah. All right, let's all stand. You are such a good class. We had fun today.
Amen.
Well, I went a little longer than I wanted to, but...
All right.